Well, you know, I'm really excited to talk to you because you're my first wrestler.
Oh, well,
I
you
want to
could
hear
have,
all about wrestling.
well, you could pick a lot better. I saw the lights in the ceiling more than once. But I thought Dick Miller was the coach, and he began as a track coach and then was a wrestling coach, and it's great camaraderie. The trips that we would take, I mentioned the West Virginia, Don Fowler, who's a surgeon in Stanton. Do you know his name?
No.
He was on the wrestling team, and John Hollister. They were two West Virginia boys. They were really, really tough. It was fun. One nice thing was that wrestling had the longest training season of any sport, and so that kept us out of the parties for a good chunk of the year, which was a good idea, you know, because we did keep training rules.
Well, tell me about that. What kind of training rules?
No
What's
cokes,
involved?
no drinking, no, not even Coca-Cola.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't like to run very much. He made us run a lot, but it was fun to try to be in good shape. I never was in as good a shape as, well, who is? We had some great wrestlers, like I guess Gibby McSpadden from Memphis was probably the greatest wrestler when I was there. His picture's in the gym. You know his name?
No. McSpadden?
McSpadden, Gibby McSpadden. And I remember going up to wrestle West Virginia in the wintertime and pulling ourselves up those icy hills by the rail, and then going down to wrestle the Citadel when it was cold in Lexington, and you'd go down to Charleston, and people would be cutting the grass, and the girls would be in light spring dresses, and it was palm trees. So it was one of the best trips we made was up to Lancaster. We wrestled Millersville and what's the other school up there? That oh, I can't think of it. You know the one I'm talking about? Well, in any case, seeing the Amish going to the big
You were in Lancaster?
yeah, the big farmers market, and seeing the men in hats, they'd meet and embrace, and the women would shake hands, and you had all of this wonderful produce, and walking around seeing that, I'd never seen anything like that. Franklin and Marshall, we'd go up and wrestle those two teams. And then we wrestled, you know, University of Virginia, and I remember Hollister, whoever lost at 77, John Hollister and I often would have wrestle. We'd have eliminations. Whoever lost would have to wrestle heavyweight because we didn't have a heavyweight. And I remember wrestling. Well, I'll think of his name. But there was one fellow from Duke, a big football player. That week I lost, so I guess John probably wrestled 77. It was a big football player who didn't have any teeth. And in those days, you could stall. They didn't call stalling. Now, if you don't try to escape if you're on the bottom, or try to turn over your man if you're on the top, you get a warning, and then you points are given to the your opponent. Well, in those days they didn't. The matches were 9 minutes. They were longer than they are now. And so I was pretty good at stalling because I'd run out of gas. I remember putting an elbow in this fellow's toothless mouth. He couldn't turn me over. Of course, he beat the tar out of me, but he couldn't turn me over. So certain amount of satisfaction in that.
I have a photograph of a wrestling match that I just love because everybody's standing on the sideline in their coats and ties, and there's this one girl there, and she's straightening up her glasses, and I just have this feeling that her glasses must be all steamed up.
Yeah, that's right. I remember wrestling Henry Jordan. He later went on to play professional football. He was a UVA. He was a splendid wrestler. He could turn you over and pin you in the gentlest sort of fashion.
So did you used to like, or do you still like to watch wrestling?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I always go up. I watch the team, support the team here. See, I wear my W&L tie, but I cheer for Davidson. That's how I resolve that. But I go up for the W&L tournament and for the dual meet. My wife says, with about an hour of Lexington, you know, I begin to giggle and laugh, begin to laugh.
Why did you pick wrestling over other sports?
Well, I'd wrestled. At Episcopal High, you have to go out for three sports. Everybody has to.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I played football and wrestled and tried to play tennis. So I kept up the... They de-emphasized football just before I got to W&L. They had a cheating scandal.
Was that talked about much when you got there?
No, not much, but there was no secret. And I remember a coach came around to the fraternity house once to find people to suit up to play Fork Union, I think, at high school. So we played, Hollister played in that too, athletic guy. So we suited up and played, I guess, Fork Union or whatever. That's the only football game I played in. So now they have a good football team, and they have spoiled the Davidson homecomings more than once. Yeah.
Well, they had their homecoming spoiled this year.
Yes, we've spoiled theirs too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the lacrosse team was prominent, and we had a number of All-American lacrosse players, a lot of those Baltimore boys, and they went to England in the summers to play exhibition games in England. So Al Meade was on that team. Do you know that name? Baltimore. Lots of Baltimore. And that's another nice thing about W&L. We met young men from all over. I mentioned Jacques Dubois from Mexico, and in the States, well, Philippe Lebrun was there when I was there, the French, the well-known French, whose novel I think is really a distortion and ridiculous. We were in Dean Labern's sociology and anthropology course together. And then it was fun to get to know the Texas and the deep South men and women, Mississippi and Alabama, Texas. And we had a number from the North that were good friends. The SAE house at the time had very few people from Virginia in it. They were from other parts. So.
How did you choose your fraternity?
Oh, they had this archaic rushing system where you chose the first week you were there. It's kind of the black ball system. I don't know what they do now. So I'm not sure it was a great method of, but we made some very good friends, but I had plenty of friends, particularly the athletes in other fraternities. So, how does it run? Do they do it the same way?
No, this year is the first year they're doing a delayed rush, and they're not going to do rush until January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of fallout. It's in a shakedown period now. Well, one of the consequences was that there was only one float in the homecoming parade, because apparently they usually have the pledges do all the work on the float. Kind of a pathetic homecoming
parade. Yeah. I think the fraternities have a much bigger say up there than they do at Davidson. I think perhaps they used to at Davidson, but so John McLean was a Rhodes Scholar. He was a couple of years behind me. He was from, I think, Arkansas. Did you get that far?
No, I haven't traveled that far. I talked to several of the Rhodes Scholars. Pretty impressive people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the whole issue of co-education.
Okay. I don't think that's as fascinating a subject as a lot of people, because I don't really see any difference in the classroom. But as far as the social side goes, see, I think I think we had a good arrangement. I'm delighted that our daughter went to W&L. But I think that some of the arguments are specious, but I'm all for it. But I think that in saying, for example, at Davidson, they said it'll improve the academics of the school. That's nonsense. They did it simply to go along with everybody. And I think that single-sex schools have a real place. But I think that W&L, as far as the admissions picture across the country was going, probably was forced to do that because the quality of the applicants had slipped. It's my understanding. But I don't think that it improves academics. I think those women's colleges were very strong, and it didn't help them any. But I think that. So, I don't think I think that if they had been better recruiting, they need not have done it. But it's, you know, the times are for co-education, and that's the way it is. But I do think that there's a real place for single-sex schools. I like the idea of choice. I don't think every school has to be the same, run the same way.
Can you put yourself back 11 or 12 years ago when it was under discussion? Did you talk with your fellow alumni about the issue?
Yeah.
Did you already know how you felt?
I didn't buy the argument that the admissions people, it was my understanding that the admissions people said, we have to do it. And I did not buy that argument. I thought if for other reasons co-education was smart, fine. But I don't think, at Davidson also, I think that the reasons they gave were sort of PR reasons. I don't think it was necessary. But, for example, and I don't suppose you want to put this in, but our son graduated from Episcopal. Don't put this in because it looks like I'm bragging. And he got a Moorhead at Chapel Hill. Do you know that they didn't even, not only recruit him, they didn't even get in touch with him.
Barry Washington, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A legacy, and who was a terrific co-captain of the soccer team at Episcopal High. You know, senior monitor. Got a Moorhead. So it seems to me, and I told John Wilson that says it all. You can't say that you're really doing a good job recruiting if you didn't even give him a letter. So I just really, you know, when you deal with these institutions, as you know, you have to cut through a lot of stuff when to dress it. And I mean, there's a lot of phoniness in all these schools. It's a human condition. So I really didn't buy that argument.
Was there a lot of discussion among alumni?
Well, I'm kind of isolated down here. Mm-hmm. I don't get into Charlotte unless I have to. And so I don't go to the chapter meetings usually. And there are no W&L people on the faculty here. And so there's nobody to talk to about it. But I talked to a couple of people who agreed, who said exactly the same thing I'm saying. If they had mounted a vigorous campaign to attract better students, they wouldn't have needed to say wouldn't have needed to go coeducational. But as I said, I couldn't have been happier than when our daughter was up there. I mean, I really, and she loved it. She loved it. She was an English major, and she's a writer and an editor now. And, you know, she really liked Sid Cowling and Dabney Stewart. And, of course, Dabney went to Davidson. And it was a great place for her. She loved the ratio. She didn't marry a W&L man, but she sure enjoyed it and learned a lot. Went on the French semester or whatever it was to. They worked with her so that, well, she went to France with one of the French teachers, but they also, she was able to go to China in 89 with my wife and me. So, and live with us over there, although she came back before the demonstration started. So I think she got a good education, and it was also, I think there's more education abroad. The students are there now are more likely to study abroad. I don't remember many people studying abroad when I was there. So that's a good, I think that's a good change. That's a good change.
So when your daughter was there, were a lot of those first women students daughters of alumni?
You'd have to check the numbers, but it seems to me
you went for Parents Weekend?
Yeah, we always had a big picture in front of the of what used to be the library, always. Seems to me we did at least once. Fathers and sons and daughters. And so I like the idea of legacies going to the same school. I don't think it weakens the school. You don't want all of them, of course. But I like that sort of family loyalty. I think that's a good idea. And that's one of the things that I think W&L wants to, should continue to stay strong. Bring in other people, but also, that's a little off the subject, I guess.
No, not at all.
So, let's see, what haven't we touched on that I wanted to be really sure?
Yeah, let's talk about what you want to talk about, because I know you need to go.
There's one of the students whose father is here from London. And I met him this morning, but I said I would be in the library between 4 and 5. Let's see, I've mentioned goodness, I guess I've mentioned the dramatic moments. Faulkner, Toynbee, Armstrong, Barclay. The sadder side, the automobile wrecks, sports, academics, fraternities, honor system, the beauty of the whole, that part of the world. You know, you make the camaraderie, let's see, what? And I mentioned Gaines and Gillum and Laban. Sprunt was another noble presence.
Dave Sprunt?
He's a Davidson graduate.
There seems to be a lot of relationships between Davidson.
Well, I think that the Presbyterians, they say, tried to take over W&L when they started. They didn't succeed. But of course, the Presbyterians founded Davidson. So there's a French teacher who's a Davidson graduate. Dabney Stewart's a Davidson graduate. I don't know whether there's any Jimmy Williams in Spanish, he's Davidson. So.
And several people from Washington only came here to study what you all had done and when you co-educated.
Yeah, that's a group that came down. I had lunch with them. Mm-hmm. They also, right, yes, they did. I can't remember who besides.
I know.
Maybe Bill Washburn.
And Pam Simpson.
Uh huh.
She talked about coming down.
Yep.
And how helpful you all have been.
Well, I think that they must have done a very good job up there, you know, once they made the decision. And our daughter certainly, she lived with a bunch of girls over in that big house. I know you've seen it on one of those streets just up behind McCampbell Inn, about mm-hmm. two or three streets up over there. I'm sure you found a great deal of loyalty to the school. I mean, not many people disliked it, that I recall. I'm sure some people transferred out, but I can remember one fella who was... But let's see now. What are some other things? So, I don't know how much tie... I'm not sure that... the ties between Davidson and W&L are that strong. There are certainly similarities. And we play each other in some sports now, which that's good.
Well, we've made it through my list.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to...
Well, I looked for some letters, but it was hopeless. I looked in the furnace. My wife said, look in the furnace room. Hopeless.
Furnace, I hope.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we have. But I will definitely edge my way around the house and see if I can come up. What's your deadline on this?
Oh, I'd need to have that kind of thing by early next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a couple more.
Yeah. Well, I'm not making any promises I can't keep.
Well... I'd love to see anything if you do have it.
Because I did write a lot. I like to write letters.
Well.
And so I'm sure I wrote a lot of letters.
You know, letters are a real window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like to type, and I remember I would type all those letters to... it was fun taking... friends to date at, say, Randolph-Macon and then go to our house in Lynchburg for dinner. That was a great treat. My parents liked that. That was quite special, so they knew a lot of my friends. I guess you didn't talk to Richard Wilburn. He's from Meridian, Mississippi. His aunt lived in Lynchburg. She was actually down for the wedding a week and a half ago, our daughter's wedding. She's about 90 now.
I have a picture. Very strong relationship between Lynchburg and Washington.
Real strong.
Very, very impressive.
Real, real strong. And I tell you, ma'am, I can't. I've kind of run.
Well, let's cut it off. I think we've done a good job here.
Yeah, what's the time look like? How are we doing? That's good. That's